Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Guardians did just lose to Toronto, and if you haven't seen the video, you pointed to it, with Manzardo throwing to home only for Bo Naylor to be
off in La La Land.
And just looking, I don't know, thinking about his future. I don't know, but it's not a good loss. You know what? That's about not a good series loss for the Guardians today.
Awful series loss, but to just kind of just hang on to this Bo Naylor situation for a second. I mean, it'd be like in football, if a wide receiver just isn't paying attention when the quarterback throws him the ball, at some point it's like, well, what are we doing here? I mean, this is the easy stuff. Pay attention when the game is going on.
And I think we're just getting to a point where they just might be a 500 team, and the people in the preseason might have been right about them, and I might have been wrong. And the reason why I say that is there's not a lot of fire from this team. And I get they're losing, and that's a really difficult, like, it's tough to do sustained losing in baseball. Yeah, but you're not making it any easier on yourself with some of the simple mental errors and silly little mistakes you're making. At some point, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I think we're there with the Guardians.
But you talk about that lack of fire. Think about it. They go down 3-0 in the third inning, and there's not any one of us sitting here watching this game that thought they were going to come back and win that thing. 3-0 in the third, and we're thinking it's curtains already? You in the fifth inning were already describing the game as if it was just already blouses. And in many ways, obviously it turned out to be, with good reason, because we just have no confidence this team knows how to have any of that fire you're talking about.
So, from the Guardians losing the series against Toronto, hey, the good thing about baseball is we continue to keep the feet churning there. They got the Cardinals coming up next, also a home series. I think the Guardians have gone way too far in one direction here. Obviously, the hashtag the promotion was trending. We've been following the story all week about Guardians fans insistent on the immediate call-up of Chase DeLauder and CJ Kafis. And now that Juan Brito is healthy in Columbus, there's another name to kind of throw in the hopper.
Mm-hmm.
But I can understand the Guardians don't love what is being said by their fans and the need to speak to that. But Chris Antonetti hopped on the game call yesterday on Guardians TV, and I think he did maybe more damage than he maybe helped himself.
The news is he's closer than he was, you know, a month or two ago. So he's back now healthy and playing regularly in Columbus, and one of the things we're trying to do is make sure, you know, Chase has had some injuries in the past. We're trying to build up his volume and get him used to playing, you know, 5 or 6 days a week, and, you know, the demands of a minor league and ultimately a major league season. But he continues to make great progress, and we're confident he's going to impact us at some point this year.
How many
it could be sooner than later. We don't know.
Now, just the immediate, and again, that courtesy of Guardians TV, the immediate reaction is you can ramp him up. If it's just a matter of, he's not major league ready. If it's just he needs to get used to playing on a longer runway, which is 5 to 6 times a week, you can do that in the pros as easily as you can do it in the minor leagues.
Exactly. I was hanging on to the last part he said there. He's like, which could be sooner than later. But I feel like that's a broken record. How many times have we heard them say something like that?
And I think this does bring, you know, we had Chris on in December. And one of the justifications from not bringing in players and like guys that I had said, this wasn't part of the question to Chris way back in December, but like a guy like I liked was Austin Hayes. 1 year, $6 million with Cincinnati. He's hitting 300. He's got, I think, 5 or 6 home runs. Right-handed hitting outfielder. You could have plugged him into right field. One of the justifications was, we've got a lot of young talent, and here's Chris from back in December.
We have to be deliberate about providing pathways for young players to contribute, and we want to make sure that we aren't bringing people in that will impede those opportunities for some of the young guys we think are capable of really contributing. So that's the constant balance we have. But what I can tell you is we're engaged in both starting pitching, relief pitching, and on the position player side.
So it's a really bad look if in December you say, well, we got to be really deliberate, and then you don't make the moves that people maybe wanted, another couple veteran players that were out there and affordable players. I just mentioned Austin Hayes for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
And then the young guys that you have aren't hitting, And your response is, the young guys that are hitting at AAA, we can't bring them up because, well, oh, we're not ready to play every day. Yeah, well, the young guys you have in Cleveland aren't playing every day either.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, we got four guys in the lineup that consistently play every day. The other five spots are always rotating, and they're always platooning. And that's it's a great point on the DeLauder side of things. Like, even if he got up here, does Antonetti really think that he's going to play 5 or 6 days a week? I'd like that to eventually be the case, but the Guardians don't do that with players as is already.
And you know me. I am always give the organization, when I say the organization, at this point I'm talking about the front office, I always give the front office and manager way more of a benefit of the doubt.
You do. You give them way more than I do.
And then a way fair more. Amount of Guardians fans, because I just look at the ecosystem of baseball. I'm like, it's damn hard to do what they've done in Cleveland. And I certainly, by the way, guys, this is a new era of restrictiveness from the Dolans. Like, the Dolans is cheap conversation has never been more prescient, even if it's never been more tiresome, because this is this conversation on steroids. We're not spending any money, let alone making up for money that that you sent out this offseason. But I continue to come back to, I don't think the Guardians realize the messaging problem that they've had here, because the only people sticking up for DeLauder and Kafis and Brito not being here yet are people who are on the company dime. And I think that's, like, at some point when you send out your sideline reporter to multiple shows in town and your GM hops on the broadcast, and that's the only thing used to defend this, and nobody else is willing to defend, at some point saying nothing is better than saying something for an organization that has some optics problems in Cleveland. I'm not trying to take shots at anybody because they can do whatever the hell they want. I think this was a massive misstep. The, hey, we know what we're doing tour, I would have just not said a damn thing at all.
Yeah, and in the past, we've seen them not say a thing. I like that he spoke. I just don't really believe much of it. You know, like, I wanted to hang on to the part at the end where he's like, well, maybe it's coming. But then the more and more we talk about it, it's like, why would I believe him? Well, I didn't believe him 6 months ago. Why do I believe him now?
But I think that's the point. It's not that I'm not trying to blame the messenger here or the messengers here, because they're just kind of doing their jobs. I think the bigger point is there's two things right now that are going to satiate the bloodlust of pissed off Guardians fans. One is winning. Well, you didn't do that today.
No.
You did do it yesterday. Got a little lucky on the Hosey walk-off, but you were coming off a loss. And two, the prospects coming up.
I mean, that's what the people want now.
This is pretty simple here. And if you're not going to do either one of those things, I think you help yourself more by just letting people silently rage at the void than giving them a moving target.
But this is why I get a little worried that the timing, if they're trying to keep people at bay, I just get worried they're gonna do something at the deadline the fan base doesn't like, or maybe that is just inactivity at the deadline that the fan base doesn't like, and then that's where they'll be like, oh, but here's DeWater, or here's Brito, or here's Kafis, and enjoy it. Like, this is what we're giving you instead. Because if you do that right now, it takes away that side of things a month from now when the fan base once again gets angry.
Yeah, it's so funny. You made that point yesterday, and I can understand why you've made it. For me, it's just like,
I mean, I can't stop thinking about it. Like, unless they call them up in the next couple days, I'm just going to be convinced that's what they're doing.
The only thing the fans want to hear is we've made a huge trade. And by the way, there was a third thing. Make a huge trade for a person that changes this lineup. But, like, even vote, man, again, Steven's got a hard job right now, because on any given night, his best pitcher gives up six earned. And by the way, when that doesn't happen, his lineup gives him two runs. Oh, when that doesn't happen, the bullpen suddenly, like, he doesn't have a thing to turn to as a manager.
Told you forever. When managers look dumb or don't look like they're doing their job well, it's typically because they don't have a good enough roster around him.
That said, today in pregame, Steven was quoted as saying, yeah, I think we got a good lineup. We're just not hitting all together.
No, he's just a positive guy, though. I've just come to accept that. He's over the top positive a lot of the times in these press conferences. I'm not sure about in real life scenarios, but in these press conferences, think about it. In multiple times this season, I've gotten him to be able to say Tanner Bibee had his best outing.
Here's the quote.
Best we've ever seen.
This is a really good offense. We just haven't been clicking all at the same time, but I think we're trending towards that. Seeing more and more guys putting together quality ABs.
He doesn't believe it.
But I think the problem is, and don't say it. And again, you can find different ways of saying nothing, and instead of going into something.
You can't possibly watch this combination of players and this bad of an offense day in, day out, and believe that this is anything close to talent.
But I think between the comments made on other stations, I think the Guardians TV thing, I think Steven doing that, I think all you're doing is kicking a hornet's nest. And I understand the attempt there, but there's nothing you can say realistically that is going to not upset people, especially when it's something is... Let me take that back real quick.
Sure.
There's nothing you're going to say, especially if you say things that are patent, that are absurd to say.
Well, that's it. You tried to give people an answer, and I commend you for trying to give people an answer, but the answer wasn't good enough. That's the problem here. Like, if they come here at Odyssey and they say, hey, listen, we got to give you a little bit of a pay cut because of certain reasons, that's not great. But if they come out and then they tell us the reasons why, X, Y, and Z, and it's like, oh, geez. Geez, we're really struggling. I guess there's no out. It's taken much differently than, well, we wanted to throw pizza parties and we wanted to make sure that our CEO went on a boat party instead. Like the messaging and then the reason beyond it has to matter as well. And the reason beyond it is where they're missing people.
What if one of them is to give me a 10% raise?
Well, that's not the conversation. The conversation is a 10% reduction in salary.
Well, yeah, you know, you get the reduction.
Oh, and then from my check to your check.
And then throws
Mac a pizza party. And I'm like, that's not great, guys. We're not doing this the right. The messaging is lost.
What if they get pepperoni and sausage? They always get one. What if they get both?
What did we have the past couple days?
Just pep.
It was just pep?
Yeah, which is fine. It was great. But pep and sausage? Oh, that's worth 10% of your check. Yours.
Yeah, mine. Not anybody else's.
We would agree.
Unbelievable.
216-474-0092.
Why don't we take 10% of Max check while we're at it, too?
Did Chris Antonetti help or hurt the Guardians last night with his comments? And I just think in general, like, did any of the things that the Guardians have said in the last 48 hours trying to put out fires, if you were mad at them, did it do anything to actually accomplish that goal? Kristen Peek, NBA draft analyst for Hoops HQ and NBA TV, coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Cavs have two draft picks in the latter half of tonight's second round of the NBA draft. Chris Fedor had reported they've been looking to move up as far as into the first round last night, but could still be looking to move up in the second round to talk all the good draft things, including not things that didn't happen to Cleveland because he didn't have a pick yesterday. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And welcome on NBA draft analyst for Hoops HQ and NBA TV, Kristen Peek. Kristen, welcome to the team. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm so, like, now I'm invested in this MLB drama. I don't understand it. I've just been plugged into the draft, but I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here. And if you would also like to send out a defamatory tweet about Kyle Manzardo skipping media, we would appreciate it. But I just mentioned there have been some reports out there that the Cavs might try to look to move up from the 49th pick today. If the Cavs were to move up into the first 10 picks, what's the name that might make sense for them?
I think Maxime Raynou is probably going to be the first one off the board. This is a Stanford center who made more three-pointers than any 7-foot-plus in college basketball this year, and he was incredible at the NBA Draft Combine. I also really love Micah Peavy. Micah Peavy, a 5-year senior. He finished his last year at Georgetown and has just been really patient with his development. And he is an incredible guard, like a combo guard. And so the two of them are, you know, the top two names. And by the way, it is slim pickings in the second round. With NIL and the amount of players that elected to return to basketball, I mean, this second round show that ESPN is going to try to do, I have no idea what is about to go down. They need to make the NBA draft a one-night thing again, because it's just going to get out of control.
Yeah, let me ask you, not necessarily about making it a one-night thing again, although we do both agree, more the idea that with NIL and the influence of all the money that is flowing into college sports, I mean, why would you have any sort of rush to go and be pick number 47?
Absolutely. Like, I had a NBA executive say to me, if you are a projected second-round pick and you are going to get a two-way contract for $500,000 and a chance to, quote-unquote, fight in the G League for a roster spot against grown men, why would you not go back to college and make $3 million playing against players that are your same age, same development, and you have the time and you have the resources and the support to continue to develop? And so I think that's what we're like that's the trend that we're on in able in terms of like the draft. And the second round has just become like a, okay, who are we picking? There's going to be a lot of international players, I feel like, that are going to be picked tonight.
Kristen, specific to round one, night one, what was your favorite pick or favorite move?
Oh man, Jan Hansen, who went to Portland in the lottery and who had to come down from the stands. I was at Barclays Center last night, and the cameras had to go in the stands to get him. They're calling him, you know, the Chinese Nikola Jokic. So who's his agent? Rich Paul. So I call this a little bit of Rich Paul magic, being able to get him slotted, you know, at, I think it was 15 or 16 to Portland when he was a projected mid-second round pick. And then also Yegor Demin, the 6'9 point guard out of BYU, again, originally from Russia, played at Barcelona, and then elected to come over in BYU. At one point, he was leading the Big 12 in assists. And so you look at this, at the positional size at 6'9" and what he can do with the ball in his hands. I think the NBA spacing will help him. But that was a huge pickup and a huge surprise for Brooklyn to take him at 8. And then Brooklyn becoming the only team in the NBA draft. They had 5 first-round picks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We drafted 5 players.
I like that you're on site, though, so we can have somebody that can answer our question then. We debated earlier on in the show. Nick thought that Carter Bryant kissed his sisters. I contended that it was a kiss on the cheek. He thought it was on the lips.
Looks on the lips to
me.
Did
you happen to see it? Did you get a vantage point for us?
I did not, but I know Carter and his family very well, and they're not like that. This isn't like a Southern Utah situation.
It's good to know.
So I almost guarantee that it was a kiss on the cheek.
It's good to know.
Southern Utah taking a stray there.
Well, Ace Bailey, I mean, he's not going to enjoy it. Who will?
I actually, so it's interesting. Like, if 5 years from now, is there a significant chance that we look up and the best player in the draft is Ace Bailey and he went 5th overall?
Absolutely. Like, he was the 3rd best prospect in this draft. And the way that his camp and the people around him try to manipulate where he was going to land, many sources told me that he only had one secret workout with the Washington Wizards. That was his preferred landing spot. And, you know, you have Danny Ainge and Austin Ainge coming in, and they're like, you know what? No, we're going to take you sight unseen. We've seen enough film. We've done our background. We're going to take you. And when I tell you, I was sitting right behind his family when the cameras came around to his table and he knew he was going to Utah. I mean, it was shock. They weren't necessarily thrilled. It was more just like, okay, what are we going to do with this? Like, how are we going to adjust? You know, so it was a very, very weird night, I guess, for Ace Bailey to realize that he was he's going to start his NBA career with the Utah Jazz.
With the Pelicans trading up, it's one of the dumber things I've seen in a long time. Like, what is Joe Dumars doing?
I don't even, like, who did they trade up for? I don't even know. Like, did they... Oh, they got Derek Queen?
Yes. Yeah, but it wasn't getting Derek Queen necessarily. It was giving up their unprotected first-round pick next year in order to do so.
Oh, my God.
Which gives off the idea, Kristen, that he thinks that they're like a good team next year or something.
I don't understand that at all, because as good as this draft class is, the 2025 draft, 2026 is going to be a monster draft. So anybody, any team giving up a pick in 2026, I don't understand that, because you got AJ DeBonta, you got Darren Peterson, Cameron Boozer, Nate Amen, Mykel Brown. I mean, these are all players. You might not know who they are, but they're going to become household names very quickly into the college basketball season.
Kristen Peek, NBA draft analyst for Hoops HQ and NBA TV on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Something we talked about yesterday was just the trend that unless there's a Wemby in the draft, unless there's LeBron in the draft, right? More often than not, the best player out of the draft ends up not being the number one pick. And I'm just curious because I felt like I grew up and it was like Shaq, Chris Webber. Like every year you could look and go, best player from that draft is the number one pick. Is there an underlying reason for that?
I think that it's just, the game of basketball is getting more positionalist and it's getting better. And when we look at a player like Cooper Flagg, could he be a generational talent? I don't know. Is he going to be a cornerstone player for the Dallas Mavericks? Absolutely. Absolutely. Cooper Flagg is a player that I've seen it from the 15U level when he played for Maine United on the EYBL circuit. With him and his brother, his twin brother Ace, who's going to be playing college basketball in Maine, they were on a team with nobodies. And within a year, Cooper carried that team to the EYBL Peach Jam 16U Finals. They lost to Cameron Boozer. They lost to the Boozer Twins. But the fact that the amount of ground that he covered in a year was incredible. So you look at Cooper, you look at, what he can bring to an NBA team. He's so versatile. I don't know. We won't be talking about him as like the generational talent that we talk about. LeBron and Victor Wembanyama, like those were right in our face, glaring. Like, yes, this is a dude that is going to change the face of the franchise forever. But what Cooper brings to the Dallas Mavericks, a team that already has plenty of pieces, it's just a rich get richer. It's unbelievable. They had a 1.8% chance of landing him, and they did, and he's going to thrive there.
Yeah, it's amazing how some of the number one overall picks, it just takes a little bit of time, and then you're like, oh, maybe that was the right pick. I mean, Ant Edwards looks entirely different after back-to-back Western Conference Finals trips. Kate Cunningham now, after this season, looks differently than he did a couple years ago. And even Paolo, dominating in Orlando. We always knew he was great initially, but like that's his team, and they have a chance to make a deep run in the East now. So like, there's a chance there that maybe we just view Cooper Flagg maybe a little differently after 3 or 4 years. Or do you think he has that instant impact immediately, kind of like Wemby did in San Antonio?
I don't think it'll be instant, because he's not going to be getting the offensive touches that Kyrie, that Anthony Davis, even Derek Lively, and him and Derek Lively have a very, very good connection just being from Duke. Like, Cooper's been in the gym with him, so he's going to have that freedom to kind of develop and learn. But there's nothing, I'll tell you this, there's nothing that NBA franchises, especially players that are projected towards the top of the draft, there's nothing that they value more, and you just named it, than youth, length, and upside. And all three or four players that you just named, Paolo, Anthony Edwards, Cade, yes, it took them a season or two to kind of get the pace, the physicality, the rhythm of the offense under their belt. But make no mistake, like, they are going to make a mark in the NBA.
Real quick, Kristen, who had the steal of the draft last night?
Ooh, that is a good question. Dylan Harper at 2? Like, how does San Antonio just fall? And, they've got so much talent in the backcourt. And Brian Wright came out and said, he's like, look, we understand that the game is becoming more positionalist. We're happy to add Dylan Harper in the backcourt. You're now looking at San Antonio. They got Victor Wembanyama, who generational talent, rookie of the year. And then they got Steph Castle, with the 4th pick. He was rookie of the year. And now they're looking at Dylan Harper, who has been comped to a combination upside of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Cade Cunningham. That big guard mentality. So that's very impressive. But if you want to look farther down the draft, Kasparis Jakachonis falling just freely to Miami at 20 is ridiculous. A 6'8", point guard with a great feel and read for the game. People, I think, you know, kind of when they went back and they looked at his film, they were a little worried about his turnover ratio. But what Kasparis offers is at the pro level is unbelievable. And he just fell to 20 to an already very, very deep Miami Heat.
They always let him fall to the Heat every single darn year.
I know. Everybody's so mad. Yes.
Kristen, great stuff. We appreciate you. Enjoy night two of the NBA draft.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Thank you so much. Kristen Peek there, NBA draft analyst for Hoops HQ and NBA TV. We'll react to what she had to say. We also have to get about, and we really just have to get to the point of it's all about Evan Mobley, as it should be, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I'd be very surprised if one of those players wasn't a draft and stash player, like a European player. I kind of would love it if they could trade up, because listen, no disrespect to Tristan, who I'd love back in his role of 15th guy on the bench and just all around good time Johnny. I really think a nice developmental big, which is what is available, probably picks 31 through 38. I think that'd be a pretty smart investment if you're the Cavaliers.
Yeah, I think it's fascinating talking to Kristen there because, I mean, she hints at, and then we get to something that's been on my mind for a while, like the second round of these drafts. It's always been a slog, but like with the NIL and the impact that it's had in college basketball, who's coming out early to go ahead and try to enter the NBA draft? It's just not happening.
But the interesting thing about it is, I think it's basically showing who can really scout and who can't. Because you know who's like killed second rounders the last couple of years? It's been Memphis. Hmm. They've gotten G.G. Jackson. They got Scottie Pippen Jr. They got the Williams kid last year. And they've just feasted. I mean, even Memphis with Aldama, the big, who I think was picked 30 one draft. Like, I do think, and the Cavs haven't really had a chance to kind of flex their muscles on this because obviously we've kind of been out of this. But, like, I mean, they took a big swing in Amani Bates, who to this point hasn't worked out. I kind of think, like, if you can draft in the second round, you can draft anywhere.
Well, but I mean, the problem there is that if there's just not as much talent to even take from to begin with, right? Like maybe we need to speak more about Memphis's development than we need to do their actual drafting ability.
That's another good point. I do think that's one of
real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
We've not really experienced that part of Kenny Atkinson just yet, outside of like what happened in the regular season, because that's one of the few things that I actually do buy into. Kenny didn't have a full summer with the team.
Yeah, he was off at Team Paris.
Now, I don't know how much difference that's going to make for Craig Porter Jr., but for like a guy like Jalen Tyson,
yeah,
who kind of is like the jack of all trades, master of none, I think that's the kind of player that you could get some real value out of next year and become a nice rotational player.
Yeah, like if that's what they start becoming known for, is drafting some of these guys in the later picks and then being able to develop them and get them to actual meaningful NBA minutes. I mean, that's all you can ask for. It really isn't much that I'm holding out hope for. You know, earlier today I told you the draft starts at 49. I don't know that I'm paying attention to 49.
I do like... Every once in a while, you'll get a very, very excited Cavs fan who's like, guys, we can add contributors today. It's like, listen, you might, but there's a really good chance that you don't.
It's a strong chance that you don't. And listen, I think college basketball is so much better in this space when people can make a bunch of money. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but like the European imprint into the college game, because they're making more money with NIL than they are even just overseas now. Look at Illinois' roster when you get a second. Half the team is European players. That's why last night a lot of the draft picks that you saw, like they all came from colleges here in America, even if they had foreign names. Because
he's a Russian kid that ended up at BYU.
Yeah, because you'll make money playing for BYU than you will playing overseas and in parts of Europe. And so they just come here and they hang out for 3 or 4 years. And then even if they get better and you go to the NBA, great. And if not, you made more money here than you would doing it in some random Euro league.
So Jason Lloyd was on with Ken this morning co-hosting. and they played a little bit of our audio yesterday.
Yeah.
And so to
the out of context king, Ken Carmen.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Is that too far now? I felt like that was too far.
Would you like to elaborate on that?
Every time he gets a clip and plays a clip from us, he just takes it completely out of context into what we say, because mainly he's just listening to the 30-second clip that he was, you know, offered up, and then that's it.
So
man gets so mad that they take him out of context in these little clips that are floating on the internet. Maybe if you took us into context for once, maybe it'd be a different story.
Look at that. Okay. All right. So that being said, you know me, I like shots fired.
Spot the lie.
I don't think there is one. No. Now, usually I think it's because Owen poorly paraphrases what we've said to him, or Mitch poorly paraphrases what we've said to him. But yes, in this case, the defense rests. Now, basically it came out that, you know, we talked yesterday about Donovan. Would you trade Donovan for Jaylen Brown? And we got into a back and forth, and you kind of defended you're not trading Donovan. And Jason today kind of commenting off the Fedor report saying it's all about Evan Mobley. Meaning, like, moving forward, this is all about Evan Mobley. I think a lot of people think it's all about Donovan Mitchell. Quite frankly, I agree with Jason. It is all about Evan to me.
And that's where I think they got us a little confused. And they weren't even talking about Donovan versus Jaylen Brown or anything like that. They were going more off of Chris's comment.
No, I'm poorly paraphrasing.
Yeah, no, exactly right. And so they were going off of Chris's comment about who's got the championship DNA and all that other stuff. And then it swerved into basically who could you trade, who could you not trade. It's not that Donovan's off the table for me. That's never been the case. I'm just not trading Donovan for Jaylen Brown. If you get me, if all of a sudden Giannis becomes open and Milwaukee, for some unknown reason, says Donovan's who we want, okay, let's dance. Let's have that conversation.
But the thing I would say is, I think Donovan for Jaylen this year specifically is an equitable trade, where I don't think it was a year ago. A year ago, you would have to give up more to get Jaylen Brown for Donovan. Then we might be at the sweet spot where values are kind of commensurate with each other.
I just don't see it that way. We've disagreed on this already before, but I think Donovan's value is higher than Jaylen Brown's. Jaylen Brown is coming off the worst season he's had in years. Donovan was top five first team All NBA this season. I think they're at different value points right now.
So last night would have been the moment to do this, as it pertains to Donovan, for a quick retool. There is a part of me that, like, if the next year or two should be in service of, we got to start thinking of what are the pieces that can bring out the best version of Evan Mobley, so that when he is ready to finally take that big step forward, you're ready to hit the ground running and not just do that, but search all the way into the playoffs. Kind of like OKC has done over the last couple of years, retooling consistently around SGA, and this is the year that he kind of took off.
Yeah, I mean, we still need him then to have the takeoff. Like, I got a little shook by what Kroenke in Denver, and it was, he never should have said it, dumb thing to say, but when he's thinking about, hey, if something happens, we need to consider trading Jokic, like, maybe there's just not as many untouchables as I once considered.
And specific to that, if the second apron is going to do that, then you need to redo the NBA.
Which, by the way, did you hear Brad Stevens yesterday?
No.
Brad Stevens was like, I've done a lot of work on the second apron in the past month. Turns out, we owed a lot of money, and I didn't know this was coming. Like, he's the GM of the team, and he just had a... It was like he was shocked that the second apron existed.
So, as a quick sidebar, this is why I do think that the second apron is going to be loosened here.
It caught a lot of people by surprise. When a GM of a basketball team is like, hey, I didn't even know it was this punitive. Like, okay, then. You're supposed to know these things.
So, I don't think Donovan should be available, and on that, you and I are in the same regard, but if it either helps you completely build around Evan Mobley or helps you dislodge whatever, you know, fit issues you have in the playoffs between Donovan and Darius, yeah, I can justify trading Donovan just as easily as I can justify trading Darius.
Yeah, I just don't think we have to be as clenched up about it all. I feel like if Denver can even mutter the words trading Jokic, I just think there aren't nearly as many untouchables as maybe we like to think that they are. And a lot of these guys are way more open to business than maybe I initially gave them credit for as well.
Evan's untouchable for me. That's it. How about you?
No, that's cool. Let's play with that. I'm good with that. If Donovan has to be the one to go, great. But you have to get the right value for him too.
Yeah, like Darius, to me, I can get 90 cents on the dollar for Darius, but in the name of fit, you're made whole. That the fit part of this makes up the extra 10% of the value to me.
Very fair.
With Donovan, I'm going to need 110% on the dollar.
Yeah, it's got to be a blow your socks off type offer. And it's got to be one of those when you do it, you're like, oh, okay, we instantly became better. Like, we got this, we got better. Like, again, trading for Giannis, for instance, you look at it, you say, we got better.
So maybe this is the way of reframing this then. You can get 100% of value, but I need another 10% of fit. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I know. I like it. I like how you put that. Like, we need, it needs to be perfect, but it, but there's also a scenario that exists out there where it's, I'm not closing the door on people that call. I'm not just immediately saying no. Like, we're welcoming the conversations. It's okay.
It's too bad the Brooklyn Nets drafted five guys nobody wants, because, man, if they took five interesting players last night, maybe it could have scrounged up a Cam Johnson and a couple future first kind of offer. No such thing. No.
I did love the conversation around that last night. People are like, I can't believe they actually took all five.
Which, the weird thing is that now it's not just they took all five, but they're getting hammered for the five they took. Like, I thought it was interesting Kristen loved the Denham pick because it's widely been panned.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody but Danny Wolf that I saw them drafting, it was immediately like, not good enough. Nope, why'd you do that? He's a second-round pick. And so I just thought that was wild that the three most panned things were Dumars trading a future next year's first unprotected.
That one got destroyed.
For yet another big that likes to eat in Derrick Queen. And then the second one,
Zion thought he announced Dairy Queen,
was Chinese Jokic, which feels like a pretty significant stretch. And then the third one was the five picks and who they actually went to.
Hey, branding is everything, right? If you call him Chinese Jokic enough, maybe the fans will get excited.
What if I call him Chinese Sagana Jop? Because I think that might be closer to where you went there. With love and respect to Sagana.
Naturally. Wouldn't want to disrespect him.
Lead coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.